Dubai Eye
103.8. Do you know what that means on a Sunday? It's time for the paper review. So it is a warm welcome to the owner and co-founder of Unleashed, the largest dog park here in the UAE. James, a.k.a. Brummy Miller, joins us live in the studio. Good to have you on board. How are you doing?
Not bad, thanks, mate.
All well?
Yeah, all good.
How was Crimbo and all?
It was pretty quiet. Nice, here, easy.
A lot of people, with good reason, people head off, don't they? They get out of town, etc. But it is good to be here, isn't it?
I was good. We did it last year. It was the first time we stayed in 5 years last year, and it was nice, and we decided to do it again this year. And slightly different this year. We went to a brunch,
mm-hmm.
and I was saying to Zines earlier, maybe not again, but it was different to do it once. I think was nice, but probably not again. So
I'm just amazed how many people we'd have this debate at home.
We're doing well today.
This debate, and that is the War Office loves to get dressed up on Christmas, and I'm like, we're not going anywhere. We're having lunch here. You know, you might as well be in your pajamas, but no, she comes out in all the glad rags, etc.
I got told by Laura to go back upstairs and put a shirt on.
I was in
a t-shirt. I thought, I'm going to do this relaxed. And she's like, no, go and put a shirt on. So,
and you must have seen some sights at the brunch as well, people getting dressed up for it.
Oh, I thought you meant the other sort of sights. No. There were a lot of people dressed up. Yeah, it was a unique experience, shall I say.
So, good.
I've ticked that box.
One thing you've also ticked the box of is opening the largest dog park in the UAE in the course of the last year. How are things going at Unleashed?
It's going well, thank you. It's busy. We've got a good bunch of dogs, and their respective owners.
Dogs are all right. The owners, dogs, a little bit iffy, yeah.
Well, it's one of those weird things. We often say we don't know owners' names. We know the dogs. We don't know the owners. We often look at each other and go, "What's their name?"
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't remember. But we know the dog's name. We know it's Max or Marco or Luna. But it's good. We've got a really good bunch down there. And now, as the weather's getting cooler, I was saying to Zines a while ago that still in the mornings we're closed because it's still a bit warm for mm-hmm. certain breeds of dogs, the sort of short nose, the pugs and the French bulldogs, etc. So as the year starts to continue to cool down, we'll open longer and over the weekends with Friday and Saturday. Will stay open all day on those days. So,
you know, just to clarify for people out there, so this is Unleashed. It's down next to the Wright Market, next to the Police Academy as well. There is that partnership with you and Ripe, isn't it? But is that, I mean, obviously that's a great partnership and you're finishing from that. But do people understand that Unleashed is also open throughout the rest of the week or not?
No, not really. And it's something at the moment where we're having a word with Ripe about. We had a meeting before Christmas because Ripe is technically it's open all week. Mm. The market side, because this is a problem Ripe have, they're synonymous with being a weekend market.
Yeah.
But down there are seven fixed food vendors. There's Pizza Express, there's Boston Lane, there's a sausage place. There's quite a few down there that are open during the week, but no one knows that they are open down the week. And it's now we've had a large meeting before Christmas. In fact, Ali, who owns Boston Lane, was just messaging me before I came on air saying we need to get together. We need to kind of work a way to kind of get everyone down there during the week and do some more activations. We're thinking of doing cinema nights down there with the kids, so you can bring a kid and dog and bits and bobs like that. I've been trying to get hold of Disney because they've just done a new release of a new film, a new dog film, a husky film. So I want to show that down there.
Is
it good?
Yeah, no. Togo.
No.
Didn't like it.
97%. No?
No.
Oh, it's disappointing.
Well, you know, hang on. Okay, can I track back on this one? So there I was thinking I was doing a service to the Urquhart family, saying, you know what we're going to do day before Christmas? So we're going to sit around and watch a Disney film. We're going to watch a new Disney film. It's called Togo. It's about Husky. We're all going to be bawling our eyes out by the end of it. It's a true story as well. So come on, let's all get together and do this. It's got Willem Dafoe in. What more could you ask for, basically? One person left watching the film at the end of the 2 hours. One person in bawling their eyes out, maybe his eyes out at the end
was
of the film.
You?
Yeah. Rest of them have all disappeared. One off on Fortnite, one's on YouTube. Wife's passed out rather in the back.
But was it good? No, so it wasn't good.
It's okay. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was the sort of good Disney classic.
That's
and it's a dog
that's
film.
What you want from a Disney, isn't it? Just a good feel Or feel good film.
Exactly that. And the kids, you know, as they sort of started pairing off, again, well, where are you going? And I didn't have the heart to say, sit down, you'll see this through to the end. They went, no, Dad, it's a dog film. Well, no, it's always going to be, it's going to end horribly. I know, it's going to end horribly. So, but it, no, that, Tom's movie review was a little bit critical at the beginning. It's definitely worth a watch, that's okay. For sure.
That's all right then. Yeah. That's all right.
In terms of all things we're talking about Unleashed at the moment as well, one thing I've noticed, I want to get your thoughts, Brummy, on this one as well, is in the last 12 months, I've seen a lot more vans out and about, pooch clinics and cleaners and things like that, dog walking vans, etc. I mean, it seems to be a bit of a boom industry, dare I say.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, there are supposedly 140,000 registered dogs in Dubai. Yeah. And that's the registered one. So, and you've got cats on top of that. So when you look at those grooming vans or the boarding or the vets, there are a considerable amount of animals out there. And that's only the cats and the dogs, not including anything else in between. So it is, you know, there's a big demand for it. And unfortunately, Dubai isn't really a place to necessarily own a dog. It's a, as we spoke when I first came on, it's quite hard to take them out. Mm. Not many restaurants, many bars. Back home, it's easy. We said before, you just walk into a restaurant, a hotel. You can even walk into Marks and Spencer's back home with your dog if you want to.
Get a plane.
Exactly. It's so easy. I mean, even if you want to nip across the border here to Oman, you can't really. Mm. It's the amount of planning and the amount of money it takes kind of makes it impossible to do it. So that's where we kind of found Anish, that people who want to have a dog, and we get a lot of dogs when we open. We've had so many dogs who arrive who, there's a big problem here with sort of stray dogs and dogs getting dumped. So, and there are a lot of lovely people out here who adopt the dogs, and they get these dogs who have come inherently with problems. They're a bit scared, they don't like people, etc. Need training, but they have nowhere to do it. There's no big open spaces, no parks, etc. Mm. So we have dogs down there, and we've had people who've bought them. And in 2 years of having their dog has never been off lead in 2 years of having them.
Yeah.
So it's just great to see the joy on their face and the face of the dog. It's something that is, you know, like I've said, Dubai has that, or I suppose the Middle East Dubai, Abu Dhabi, just nowhere to really take your dog if that's what you want to do. So.
Well, let's get to a few of the stories that you've chosen for us. And rather fittingly, the first of those stories is an animal story as well. Talk to us about
it would be.
The cat.
The cat. So there was a 19-year-old cat who went missing 6 years ago back in the UK and was reunited with its owners after being missing for 6 years on Christmas Eve. So John Kinlock, who is the owner, the dad of said cat, has not stopped crying since the return of his beloved cat, Tabs. A very kind lady who was walking home, by all accounts, found it on the side of the road in a rather pitiful state and decided to take it in, give it a bath, give it something to eat, and then having checked the microchip. Well, it is. I mean, but one of the reasons, my mum actually sent me this article as well, because earlier in the year, one of my cats went missing, and he disappeared for 126 days and was found 40 kilometres away in Deira. So he went from JVT to Deira before he got trapped by a municipality, who then very kindly called our vet, who then called us, and now Gizmo is back home.
Wow.
Yeah. But in between that, I've had another cat stolen from, as he was about to go to the UK, the night before he was off to the UK, he got stolen.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we assume he's gone missing, but someone had been seen picking him up before, and one of our neighbours had said, no, that belongs to that house over there. And then he's gone again. So we can only assume that someone's decided that they like the look of him and decided to take him.
I mean, this is obviously a story that's been picked up by the Daily Mail over in the UK. And a couple of things that sort of jump off the page for me. I mean, first and foremost, 19 years is a good old innings for a cat, isn't it?
It's huge. I mean, I think the lady who picked him up was 32, so she's less than half his age. I mean, 19 years for a cat is, and especially one if it's been living on the street sat outside for 6 years, is an incredible amount of time to keep going. And I'm kind of wondering whether the next few days we're reading the Daily Mail that poor old Tabs has actually died after just coming home. So I'm kind of expecting that horrible Disney ending you were talking about.
Overeaten over Christmas. He's gone back in and just like consumed anything that is in its path. The other thing is, though, that how if it had been microchipped, which seemingly it had been, why it had not been checked over the course of the 6 years of being straight.
I suppose it's the same here. I mean, you would have seen them here, the ones who have the top of their ears chopped off, which show that they've been sterilised so they can't, or TRN, so they can't have kittens or mates, so which keeps the population down. But there's plenty here, and I mean, you see it less in the UK. I don't know whether you see it less in the UK because there are stray cats there, and you just assume that they are normal cats.
Yeah.
So I would think there probably are quite a few stray ones back in the UK, but I suppose people just walk past them and just think that they belong to someone and don't do anything. And a cat on the street does a bit better, I think, than possibly a dog, although having seen some of the state of cats and dogs here who have been on the street, it's not too nice, but...
Extraordinary story of perseverance and fortitude is there as well. And it also reminds me another the Christmas movies I've tried to get the kids to sit through in the past, because it used to be a tradition when I was a lad all those years ago. Growing up, we used to watch The Incredible Journey at this time of year just to bring a tear to the eye and, you know, instill that hope in life. Tried to get the kids to sit through it last year. Absolutely no chance whatsoever. They're like, it's so old, Dad. It's so old.
So you're doing well on your movies.
Awful. Just don't come round to mine, that's for sure. Unless you want a sort of tear-jerking Disney film or something that's completely outdated. We are in the paper review this Sunday afternoon with James Miller. You might know him as Brummy, as many do out there, including many of the dog owners here in the city. He is the owner and the co-founder of Unleash. Now, Unleash is down at the Dubai Police Academy, next to the Right Market, if you like, part and parcel of the Right Market, but its own entity in its own right as well, open throughout the week and open to all, but not just to turn up.
No, please don't turn up. People keep turning up with their dogs, and we do want people to turn up with their dogs, but we have a couple of sort of stipulations and rules first, and the main one is that they're all assessed, so we don't incur any incidents between a dog that isn't very social, which happens quite a lot here. So if they have a look at Spot Daycare, which is our sort of sister brand, have a look at Spot Daycare, or go on to howlandgrowl.com, which is my wife's luxury boutique, and on there all sort of the instructions of what to do. You need to register, just have an assessment down at Spot Daycare. We do them at the park as well, but you have to pay for the one down at the park. It's a paid service, whereas if you go to Spot, it's free of charge,
and
you get a 3 days daycare as well, so you can drop your little one off in the morning and they'll do the assessment during the day and pick them up in the evening. So it's pretty simple, and after that, as long as they pass, which most of them do, to be fair. We've had a few that haven't, but a majority of them do pass, and they're welcome to come down to the park.
I suppose it's one of the... You mentioned there about the amount of time that dogs spend on leads here, and that's just sort of... It's fairly unnatural for them. If anything, it can make them...
Well, it is, and also they don't... Even on lead here, I mean...
You're not social.
I know you've got a couple of dogs. You've kept that rather quiet, but I didn't manage to sort of whittle it out of you last time. Well, they're your wife's dogs, aren't they, I think, is what you really said.
Well, one of them certainly is, that's for sure.
But even here, you don't see too many people really walking them. In the communities, maybe a few people. Yeah. But dogs back in the UK, like we've said, often meet each other on lead, off lead. So they learn how to socialise. Same as kids. I mean, if you locked a kid up for 2 years and kind of just kept them on lead and walked him away from every other kid, when he finally met a kid, he probably wouldn't really know how to interact with them. So... It's a skill which they don't really, some of them don't possess, and it's something they need to be taught. So and that's what we're trying to do, re-educate. And it's as much the owner as the dog. There's no bad dog. There's only bad owners, really. So a dog learns from its owner. Yeah. They don't come out of their mum wanting to just terrorize people. So we try and help that. So we've had some dogs down there who are. In inverted commas, problem dogs. They're just a bit boisterous. So we assist with them and give them advice, and we do allow them to come back out of hours even to kind of retrain their dog, or just give it some actual proper social experience.
Make sure you get yourself involved if it's something that you'd like to get involved in for 2020. We'll give more details of how you can get involved in just a few moments' time. In the meantime, though, let's turn our attention back to some of the stories that we are reviewing on the paper review today. We've been talking about chipped animals in terms of microchips, getting them back to their rightful owners. Seems like we're sort of crossing into chipped human beings now as well.
So that's right. So this is in the Khaleej Times, actually. So... The headline is "Man with implanted chip unlocks car with his hand." So, this Utah man seems to be obsessed with microchips and has currently got four of them four implanted in his hands, with one being a Tesla key that he uses to unlock the car. And if you read further down the article, he says, I play tricks on people who don't know I have it in my hand. I try and convince them a banana is the key. And then I hold a banana up and the chip unlocks the door. So I'm not sure which I'm more worried about. The fact that this guy obviously has no social life, but he has to, you know, open a car with a banana or pretend he does to make friends, or the fact that he has four chips in his...
I mean, it's not... This is a weird one, isn't it? Because it's not new. Scientists have been running controlled experiments for many years now of the use of microchips on a body to enhance that sort of smart lifestyle that all of us are being pushed towards at present. And all of us will... It will be part
inevitable,
of our lives.
Yeah, sure.
It's inevitable. That's coming up. It's just how far you go with the microchips, I suppose.
Well, this is great. I mean, again, if you read further down, he's revealed that while most of the chips were installed by a family member, he took the help of the piercing studio to implant the Tesla key. I mean, who do you ask? I mean, if I went to my mum and said, Mum, I've got this cracking idea. I'd like you to implant a chip on me so I can open the car. I think she'd knock me out, I think. I mean, she'd send me away. It's just rather strange. It doesn't... And saying that, I've got a car that's it's nowhere near as technologically advanced as a Tesla, but I walk up near my car and it just unlocks itself from the key fob, so I'm not sure why I need my hand to do it for me.
But again, it comes down to this whole... There's a great article in the National Newspaper today about the last decade of tech, and I know we've been talking about that here on the show this morning. And one of the recurring themes of the last 10 years has been speed. It's been speed and convenience, speed and convenience, speed and convenience. And from 2010 all the way to the last couple of days of 2019, we just want things quicker and we want less. We want to do less and have more handed to us on a plate, be it getting on an e-scooter to get from A to B. Or, I mean, and I notice it now, is, you know, the technology where cars, you know, you can get your car to start itself, put its air conditioning on, and you might just be walking out of a building, you know, or still be in your office.
I won't lie, I've got one of those. Well, Laura has one of those. She loves it. I don't love her in the summer when her car does it and mine doesn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and I think Dubai especially, or Middle East, we seem to just crave that more than anybody anywhere else. You go back to London and probably other cities, in whether it be America or Australia or other places, that you don't... I speak to my friends, and the fact that I can have everything delivered to my house is speed. And whether it's a technology, but it's technology that allows you to do that. You know, whether it be an app, and I can get food delivered, my dry cleaning picked up. It's just, it's mind-boggling. Mm. It's crazy.
Let's get one more before we go to the news headlines. This is one that is close to my heart as a... I'm not going to say beloved West Ham fan, because we're going through a bit of a minefield at the moment. Lost our manager last night. And it looks like the players aren't exactly doing their bit as well.
No, that's right. So Mikel Antonio decided to crash his Lamborghini into into a garden on Christmas Day. And I mean, that's not the... I think, well, it's not funny by any means, but the video that was kind of circulating alongside that was Mikael climbing out of said Lamborghini dressed as a snowman. So, which, if you watch the video, is quite funny. I mean, he's made a good go. I mean, it's not just knocked a wall. He's parked his Lamborghini on top of two brick bin sheds.
Yeah.
And earlier that day, he had actually posted a picture of him in the dressing room or at the training ground dressed as the snowman. And he was on his way, I believe, to... I think probably the game which was playing the night before. They were all meeting up in the hotel.
Yep.
I don't know why he was dressed as a snowman to go to the hotel. There's a question there in itself. It's ironic that when I was having a look at this, only 3 years ago, another one of your players, Diafra Soko,
yep,
he also crashed his Lamborghini at Christmas.
Very tricky corners in East London and South London, you know.
There are. And obviously you can't take corners, so...
Yeah, it's not exactly the ideal Christmas present to get, isn't it? And especially you're in the wrong manner. You're in the wrong neck of woods, if you know.
No, well, true. And dressed as a snowman. I mean, he didn't flee with him, but I think he left. They did say that he left without even saying sorry. So,
oh, no, that's bad.
That's just rude. You don't
that
want any snowman to do that, do you?
You don't want any snowman to do that, or any multi-million pound Premier League footballer as well, who decides to leave the Lamborghini in your back garden.
Well, it's a nice present. I mean,
Mom, Dad, see what Santa's left! It's just abandoned it in the back garden.
Your instructor is one of the finest pilots this program has ever produced. His exploits are legendary. What he has to teach you may very well mean the difference between life and death. Your reputation precedes you.
I have to admit, I wasn't expecting an invitation back.
They're called orders, Maverick.
Now, I'm not sure about you, Brummy, but even without the pictures...
Oh, I was just watching your face there. Oh. You're as excited. Oh. Laura's at home listening to this going, you are a loser. He is a loser, because I have watched his trailer multiple times, whether it be at the office, whether it be at home. In fact, her parents were staying the other week when it came out. I said, just to warn you, when I get home, I'm putting... There's a new trailer out for Top Gun. I'm putting it on the big screen with, you know, full volume on, so hard cheese. If you don't like it, you can... And just her face is like, oh...
It is. I can't think of a sequel, a film, a follow-up film that has been more anticipated than this one. It makes 2020 all worthwhile, doesn't it?
That's all I'm looking forward to.
Exactly.
To be honest. Forget Expo. We'll just
focus on that one. I mean, it's the perfect lead into.
I think so. Yeah, definitely. Maybe just bring Tom Cruise over.
This is not the first of the trailers, though, is it?
No, this is number two.
Okay. What does this tell us about the new film?
I'm not sure. It doesn't really show much more. I don't think, to be honest. It shows a couple of new planes, and the first one was pretty extensive in what it did. And I don't think anyone still knows what is going to happen in the new one. He's not retired. It would seem like they first thought maybe he was, but he is still training and he's out there. Mm. But it does show that, like from the first one, that all was pretty much 90% of the stunts are real. And you know, Tom Cruise, as we all know, having seen him hanging off the old the Burj Khalifa at one point, loves to do his own stuff. And a lot of it he does here. I mean, Mission Impossible, he's done quite a few things. Abu Dhabi, the skydive was done here, I think. The Burj, as I've mentioned. But this looks, I mean, this is just different level. I mean, and there is a making of trailer out now as well, an 8 or 6 minute one of them showing how, and it's just, just unbelievable.
A couple of things that I picked up on it from, and not to get too geeky on the whole thing, but... As we're here, obviously not bringing Goose back, which is a good thing
But
his son's in there.
His son's in there. Miles Teller, and good actor as well. So this all, what happens then? At some point, Val Kilmer's back in it.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him in the trailer yet, but they have said he's back in it. There is a coffin in it, unfortunately. So in the trailer there is a coffin. So whether that's Val Kilmer potentially. Who knows?
I love the little sort of the homages to the original as well. You got the glimpse of a bit of beach volleyball going on.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's beach football now. They've taken out the that risque scene. Yeah, it's soccer.
Some beach soccer.
Well, I don't know if it's beach soccer or beach American football. I'm not sure which.
Right, okay.
So there is that. The homage of the F-14's back in it right at the very end of the trailer as well. The jacket's in there.
But some geeks
have spotted that they've changed one of the badges on it. It's now
is it?
Yeah. I think the Chinese are on there now. So,
he's
big in China, so isn't he, Tom Cruise? So
he is. Yeah. Goodness gracious on the piano. That's back in, isn't it?
Great Balls of Fire.
Oh, that was the one.
Great Balls
of
Fire, wasn't it?
Yeah. Quite right.
But I think the original soundtrack's back in there. Kenny Loggins is back, supposedly. So Highway to the Danger Zone.
Kenny Loggins must be just rubbing his hands. If he still is rubbing his hands, I'm not sure if he is.
He must be. He's made Footloose and Top Gun. he retired.
Right, Top Gun. Looking forward to that one. When's it? When can we expect that
summer,
one?
Summer 2020.
So we'll keep an eye on that one building through. Next up, we can't get through a news review with Brummy without a dog story. We've had our cat story. Let's go to the dog story next.
Oh, what a fun. It was a husky, wasn't it? A husky in Essex who inadvertently turned on the microwave and started a fire. A packet of bread rolls were inside the microwave at the time and began to burn, causing a small fire. The dog, who has not been named, I'm not sure why he hasn't been named. I don't know whether it's for legal reasons or maybe it was in that film you were talking about. Maybe he's a star of Togo and they just don't want it getting out there.
Exactly that.
He was alone in the kitchen at the time and his owner was not at home. But he noticed, back to your sort of technology segment earlier, he noticed smoke in the kitchen using a camera connected to his phone.
Oh, wow, okay.
Clearly, this is a very strange incident involving a man's dog, but it could still have been more serious.
It's not the first time we've heard of some unique episodes. What was that story we did a couple of weeks ago, Zines, here on the show, of the dog over in the States?
Yes, the dog that drove his owner's car.
Yeah, for an hour.
In reverse.
In circles.
Doing donuts, yeah.
There's a great video that's doing the rounds of the sort of state police turning up because they had a report of dog driving car in backyard. Basically,
only in America.
Reverse donuts, doggy donuts, as they are now known, at a very, very gentle pace. There wasn't any pace. It was about 10, and he somehow put this, he got into the car, jumped into the car, locked it, and put it into reverse, and was just going round and round in corners. There's a bit of video doing the rounds of all these police troopers just standing there going, what are we going to do? How do we stop it? It goes on for about
an
hour.
So, how did they stop it?
I think they punctured the tyres or something like that, or it came to a rest against a tree. I can't remember. Anyway, no one was hurt in the incident, and everyone lived to tell another story.
There you go.
Let's stick with the animal theme if we can, because you mentioned a little earlier on the horrific fires that have been raging in the Australian outback, the worst in recent memory, the worst in history, in fact, of late. And with that, obviously a lot of heartache and pain for human beings, lest we forget the wildlife there as well.
I mean, yeah, shocking for the wildlife. And in particular, I assume this koalas have been focused on the most. One would assume it's because they are one of the national symbols of Australia, one of the fluffiest little nice ones. And the headline is, desperate koala stops cyclist and clings to her hand whilst gulping water from her bottle as the temperature soared to nearly 40 degrees Celsius. So Anna Huesler and a group of cyclists were riding towards Adelaide on Friday, and in the middle of the road, they spotted this furry little friend, a little koala, who, when they stopped, kind of waddled over and took the bottle from her hand and took a big, big gulp of water. So, and having read, well, I mean, there's another one today, another video of a gentleman in his garden, I believe, in a tree, and it grabs a hose pipe and starts drinking from the hose pipe that the guy gives it.
So, amazing.
And I think they think up in sort of New South Wales now, one third of the population of these little guys has been decimated,
that
wiped
much.
Out. Yeah, one third of them has gone, unfortunately.
Because they're such timid creatures, aren't they? They try and avoid human interaction at any opportunity.
What are they doing? They run out of water, I think. They can't get to water, and then they go. And, of course, they only eat one thing as well. They only eat eucalyptus leaves. So once
which burns gone, very
which
well.
Which burns very, very well, unfortunately. So, and lest we forget, I mean, there are, aside from the koalas, 1,000 homes that have been burnt down. And we were speaking about, you know, the volunteer firefighters. We're talking about, you know, heroes of the year, so to speak, or people of the year. And I think they're up there. Indefinitely, and here we are looking at, it's not just koalas, but anything, dogs, cats, birds, deer, crocodiles, everything else in between, I suppose. So.
Yeah, talking, a lot of people texting in about suggestions of animals being moved around the emirate. We will look into that one in more detail and get some more comments for you on that as and when we get them. In the meantime, though, let's wrap up on our paper review. We've got the man who can here, James Miller, a.k.a. Brummy, is with us, the owner and co-founder of Unleashed. And we have talked koalas. Now we turn our attention to, let's stick with the animal kingdom if we can. And news from SeaWorld, Brummy.
That's right. So SeaWorld have announced, SeaWorld based out in San Diego, that they're going to be kind of turning down or putting an end to their orca shows.
Okay.
In fact, sorry, I lied. They're still going to do orca shows, but not in the way that they have been done before, I think, kind of with big crowds and you know, sort of the killer whales throwing people up in the air and jumping through hoops
and stuff like that
coming up on the side. So I think a lot more emphasis on education and other encounters like that. So they actually say enrichment, exercise, and overall health. They've announced also they're not going to be breeding any more orcas in captivity or taking any from the wild, because a lot of those ones that they do have been removed from the wild, Iceland or other places. So Which is good news, I suppose.
Great news for animal activists out there. And a big decision as well for what fundamentally is a business, isn't it? See, where we're set up as a business.
Well, it was. And I mean, it's a huge worldwide business now. And
yeah.
So it's grown massively. And I mean, we all know about Shamu, or have at least heard of Shamu. And there was a sort of documentary a few years ago, I know you've seen it,
is
out all over, Blackfish, which kind of highlighted the awful conditions that these animals, and also their trainers as well, I think, staff at SeaWorld, that they were put under, the pressure they were put under to make these animals do the things that they have to do in order to bring in the big bucks that their shareholders want.
We've got time for one more, and feel free to keep your reactions coming through to today's stories. And you're going to take us to Canada for the last one, where the national broadcaster have been up to no good.
That's right. So, I mean, I think we were talking earlier about off-air about our favourite films at Christmas and kind of Christmas tradition. And ours at home is to watch Home Alone 1 and 2 back-to-back. Those amazing films. And Canada decided to show Home Alone 2 over Christmas. And CBC, being the broadcaster who've done this, they're the national broadcaster over in Canada. And if you recall, there is a scene in it where old little... Kevin McAllister meets Donald Trump and asks him for directions, and Donald Trump points him in the direction of a lobby, I believe. But Canada or CBC decided to remove Donald Trump entirely from the film, cut him out so he didn't appear, to which good old Donald, he didn't take kindly to that, and he posted out on Twitter, "I guess Justin T doesn't much like my making him pay up on NATO or trade." So there you go. So poor old Donald didn't make it onto Canadian TV.
I love the fact that he's watching. You can imagine the family, right? Wait. Here's my bit.
I'm on. Yes. Huh? Oh, gutted. Not on. But it's amazing. I can't believe it. Again, I'm going to mention my mum, because I spoke to her on the way over and said, "Have you seen that they've done this?" And she said, she said, I just don't understand. Why would you do that? What is wrong with people? I mean, why? I mean, I don't get it either. I mean, that's like, you know, someone here or a broadcast back at home, BBC not liking someone in a film, an actor, and just removing them entirely from the film.
It
beggars belief, but there you go.
Listen, mate, thanks so much indeed for coming in. Thanks for all your help over 2019 as well. Hopefully 2020 delivers on all promises and big plans for Unleashed.
Yeah, we're going to show a massive showing of Top Gun, I think, on repeat all year. So
better than Togo, I can tell you that.
Well, I'll see. I think Togo might be tonight. We finished The Mandalorian last night, so that's our new one. So I'll let you know.
If people want to find out more about Unleashed, I must mention that it is the largest grass area.
Yeah, it's not the largest dog park in the UAE. There are a couple of others out there. I don't mind mentioning Bart Park and some others who do amazing work out in the desert. They've got a big desert site. We are... the largest, I suppose, city centre one with grass. So we've got a combination of grass, a lot of grass, probably two-thirds grass, and then a bit of sand. So and we are the largest in the UAE in that sense.
And if people want to find out more about what do they do, where do they go?
So either you go onto our social, unleashed_DXB on Instagram, same on Facebook, or if you go across to howlandgrowl.com, all the instructions are on there.
Love it. Thank you so much indeed for being with us. All the best to you and yours. Got plans for New Year's?
We were speaking about this as well, weren't we? Well, it won't be Burj Al Arab, but a bit too expensive for me.
Bit pricey, that one, yeah?
Yeah, ever so slightly. No, I think we're just going over for a braai at some friends with the dogs. So
nice
and easy.
Best
nice
way.
And
spending easy. It with the dogs. See, perfect.
Exactly. Lots of dogs, or dags, as my friend John says.
Dags. Okay. Good on you. Thanks very much indeed to you, Brummy, and all the team at Unleashed.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.